The Dynasty League podcast is brought to you by our friends over at MyBookie. Head over to mybookie.ag for some of the friendliest lines across the internet, or dynespressbox.com. Click on any of the pre-populated banners to give you access to exclusive first deposit bonuses, top-up bonuses, and more. Must be 18 years of age or older. Please gamble responsibly.
Back for another episode of the Dynasty League podcast. It's our second from last episode. Next week going to be the big finale. Off the top though, boys, wanted to take a quick moment. An absolute legend of the sport of football. Breaking news: John Madden has passed away at age 85. Rest in peace to our good friend over there, who is not only making an impact on the sideline, but the broadcast booth and video games world as well.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. I'm looking forward to watching the documentary that just came out, and just to see that was just
kind of spooky timing on that. Yeah. Right? You've got the Lifetime review documentary came out on Christmas Day, and here we are, what, three days later, and kind of out of the blue passes away. So
yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind, was kind of connecting. Well, first, not, you know, obviously feeling kind of bummed out about it, but also I was like, wow, it was super close to his Lifetime documentary.
I think it hits bigger for our generation just because, I mean, that was the first voice for us, really, right? Like, I don't remember watching football before Madden was, you know, was doing his thing in the broadcast booth. So I was just...
Condolences obviously go out to the Madden family, and I'm sure we'll hear all sorts of tributes and whatnot in the coming days, but for now, let's move on to the week that was in fantasy football. Craig, your Chiefs laid an absolute beating on the Pittsburgh Steelers, 36-10, left a lot of the terrible towel waving faithful thinking, well, that was the most embarrassing performance of the week. Then the Washington football team said, hold my beer, and had an absolute stinker against Dallas, 56-14. So a weekend full of a couple of blowouts there. Which fan base should be more concerned? Like, which team should be looking at, all right, we need some fundamental changes going on here in the offseason more? Is it Pittsburgh or is it Washington at this point?
I feel like both teams could be helped. I mean, it's weird because it was the defense that let them down. But I just get the feeling that both teams, they just need a quarterback. And they could be right back into it.
Is your boy Fitzmagic that quarterback, or do you think they need to look elsewhere?
I think they need to look elsewhere. I think he was really more just supposed to be a stopgap, and I mean, who knows what his health is going to be like now as he gets older, right? So they can't depend on that. But this is the tricky part, right? I mean, it's been over this before. It's not a great draft for quarterbacks.
No.
So I'm not sure what they do, either team, really.
I was watching that game closely because in one of my, and I actually spoke with Craig about this earlier this week as well, in my league, one of my leagues, I was in the semifinals. It's a super flex. And I happened to roster a number of quarterbacks. And this time around, I chose to, in my super flex, start Big Ben in hopes that, you know, the Chiefs defense, which of course, you know, has gotten better in the last little while, would still be at least, you know, a defense that someone like him could put up a serviceable number for, and thought, you know, I'll start. And then so I started him, and then I, you know, kind of paid attention to that game a little more just to see. And it just doesn't really look, you know, like, of course, he's not going to be like he was years ago, but it's just, he doesn't really throw the ball downfield very much. And especially as a fantasy football owner of his, hoping that he at least produces a little bit for you, it was just kind of frustrating to watch. Just keep checking it down and throwing the ball on these like 5 yard in routes, and not often did he throw the ball where it was in a position to be caught, you know, beyond the first down mark, or, you know, like assuming that there's, you know, the first down marker is 10 yards downfield from where the line of scrimmage at that time was. So I don't know, just reminded me a lot of Drew Brees of last year, not really slinging the ball downfield too much, but of course that's probably just old age catching up to them. But I don't think, I mean, they're in the AFC and they're what, 7-6-1, 7-7-1? I mean, they're right in the thick of it. So I think they're probably one of the teams that is in control of their own destiny, that if they win the last two games that they're probably in, maybe kind of, sort of, probably, which is bizarre, but I don't think they could really hold their own against, you know, many of the teams in the playoffs, or rather in the playoff picture in the AFC right now.
Yeah, they don't hold their, like, their that tie really hurt them. So they actually have to pass three teams right now to, like, leapfrog three teams to get in there. So
not holding my breath that either one of these teams makes it to the postseason.
No.
Either one does, they're an easy first round bounce there. But to me, I'm gonna say Washington feels more like they need to take a long, hard look in the mirror in this offseason, because as you mentioned, Craig, Pittsburgh kind of seems like they're a quarterback away, right? They've got a nice piece with Najee Harris as running back. If this draft, you go out and you address some of those offensive line issues, you can shore that up. They've got some wide receivers who Big Ben just can't get the ball to them quite as much. Their defense on most nights is usually pretty serviceable. Looked a little suspect against the Chiefs, but many a team has against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so the Chiefs have figured it out. Like, teams had, well, you know, the two safety deep merely making them, it hadn't worked. Seems like lately, I think I saw something, a stat where they lead the league with average plays per drive now, and also lead the league in drives ending in scores. So they figured it out, like,
for sure.
They figured it out. They're fine.
Well, that, and Washington, I mean, yeah, they need a quarterback, but they also need wide receivers other than McLaurin. They need a tight end who can stay healthy, right? Their defense
is always the case for Washington.
Yeah, like their defense might have pulled off one of the greatest con jobs of the 21st century in convincing everyone that they were an elite unit last year, because, yeah, they lost Chase Young midway through the season, but even when he was suiting up, they were getting absolutely blasted out there. So they're really looking like they were a flash in the pan. I don't know if it was just an easy strength of schedule and the stars aligned for them or what, but they've got some things to do on that side of the ball. And, you know, you've got players brawling on the sideline with each other against Dallas, and Dallas could have hung easily 70 to 80 points against them that game. And that's not even without exaggerating, right? Like, that was just complete beat down on every facet of the ball. They were scoring on defense, they were scoring on offense, their special teams almost broke free for a couple of plays as well too there. Like, that is a team that just quit in that game against a division rival, and you cannot have that at the professional ranks.
Would you guys be surprised if both coaching staffs weren't back next year? Like, just with expectations in Washington of, like, and just Snyder being a demanding owner compared to just the undisciplined play from the Pittsburgh Steelers consistently, it seems. Like, they just shoot themselves in the foot all the time. I don't know if they just need a new voice there. Like, their wide receivers make the dumbest mistakes, and it seems like there's no repercussions for it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then, like, even going back to AB and Lev Bell when he was there, it just seems like Tomlin's the player's coach that players may be starting to step on. I don't know.
I would be surprised if Tomlin didn't return, just because I think, and it's a great point too, right? Like, Tomlin's made no bones about it. He's taken some pretty thinly veiled shots directly at Claypool, directly at Juju, directly at some of the guys who are too busy making TikTok videos over there that he hates it. He can't stand it. And if it was his way, he would probably, you know, trade him for a player of equal value who maybe puts a little bit more focus on the game. But those are pieces you can at least flip. And I would be less surprised to hear that one of either Juju or Claypool was either traded or released or some sort of financial maneuvering, something roster wise happened in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that Rivera is out though, because it's going to be very telling this game this week after how they just played against the Cowboys. And like I said, fights on the sideline between your players flat out quitting. There's not a single person who watched that game who can't tell me that they didn't quit both on offense and defense against the Cowboys this weekend. What do they do this weekend? Because if they go out and they get their brains kicked in again and it looks like they've quit once more, you've lost the room, and I think Rivera's done.
And it's another divisional game, right? Like, it's, if you can't get up for divisional games, then you're not getting up for anybody.
Well, might as well stick with the NFC East here. Giants just announced they are bringing back both Judge and Jones for 2022. good move or bad move?
I mean,
or just disgust Craig in general.
So will you expect to see the Giants in the exact same spot next year? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. What has Jones really shown? What has Judge shown? I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, especially if there's going to be other coaches available this year. Like, who knows what happens, right? Like, I don't, to just fully commit already that Judge is the guy without seeing if maybe another better coach who has got more experience has all of a sudden let go. Like, you're a New York team. You don't think you could go out and attract the big names? I just, And Daniel Jones,
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, I don't completely hate the move. Of course, I wouldn't hate the move if they decided to do the exact opposite as well. I mean, if they gave Daniel Jones another chance in the offseason, really worked on building up their offensive line and gave him a better offensive line to operate behind, and then go, all right, last chance. Let's see what we can do when we actually put a few, you know, pieces around you and see if, you know, if you can, speaking about Daniel Jones, succeed in on this team. So I'm indifferent. Sure, give it one more chance. I'm all about second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. So have at it.
As evidenced by your multiple rostering of Antonio Brown on your fantasy league teams there.
It worked out well this year for the games he actually played in, but most of them at least.
There you go. I'm going to slightly nag a little bit. Part of it is because I also just love seeing Giants fans suffer. So, you know, as a fan, if this blows up in their face, great. I'm playing with house money here. But I at least get the rationale of go out there, shore up that offensive line, which by large has been an absolute train wreck this year, right? Daniel Jones is constantly running for his life, and he's not an accurate passer to begin with a clean pocket, let alone when he's scrambling before he's even completed his step backs. But go out and address that first. Make no bones about it and tell both Judge and Jones, like, listen, this is pretty much your future in New York, and to a large degree for Jones, probably your future in the league here on the line this year. We'll go out and we'll surround you with the pieces. They'll probably call a bunch of Alabama offensive linemen names early and often in that draft, hopefully address that issue. But I'm only all right with bringing both of them back if that means that Dave Gettleman is gone, their GM. You cannot take a look at this team and just say, as is, meh, it was an off year, let's run it back. Somewhere there has to be change. And Gettleman is someone who, whether it's the signings of, you know, Galladay or some of the contracts he's handed out or some of the players he hasn't brought back that were fan favorites over the years, he's had a few missteps, and the missteps are definitely outweighing some of his successes that he's had on the free agent or the contract market or the drafting market of late. So if you're going to bring both of those two back, at least make a change in the front office. But if everyone is just coming back and there are no repercussions for how they performed this year, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cause I mean, you're saying, you know, address the offensive line. We already knew it was bad coming into this year from last year.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do more to address it this past offseason? Yeah. Why are we waiting for another one? You know, like,
they seem to put the emphasis on let's go out and get more playmakers rather than let's give our quarterback more time to get to the ball to the playmakers we already have.
Yeah, I mean, they have enough people, playmakers, to run a serviceable offense. They need to upgrade it. Not the most glamorous position, but probably the most important.
Yeah, well, that seems to be it. During Gettleman's time in New York, he seems to gravitate towards the brand names, the recognizable signings, the let's try and get that all-world offense, but sometimes overlooks some of the special teamers, the offensive linemen, by far and large linebackers over the last couple of years as well too for the Giants has been a bit of a weakness, where it used to be one of their greatest strengths was their D-line and linebacking core. So he's gotten away from what Giants football really hung their hat on for a number of years. And so it'll be interesting to see whether his name is still the one making the calls on draft day 2022.
Yeah, like even with their first round pick this year, like to go out and draft Tony just seemed like it was a luxury pick when he didn't really have that luxury.
It was a flat out panic pick because the Devonta Smith pick completely threw them for a loop there. They were already sewing his name on the back of the navy blue jerseys.
Which again is like, Smith was picked like 11 picks before you were up. Like, you got time to figure it out. You got lots of time to figure it out. You know how long?
He's actually picked
11 right Pixar.
You got picked right in front of them. That was the Dallas-Philadelphia trade, and then they traded back as a result of that, right? So
I get that, but what I'm saying is still, like, then you still had time to figure it out. You didn't need to reach on the next wide receiver. It's like their minds were just set. We're getting receiver no matter what.
Anyways, I'm going to hop in here just to say that, yeah, I agree. Actually, I'm going to go back on my words that I said before. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh is the odds. I know I said they control their own destiny, but no, I didn't realize exactly how many teams they were. That were in that mix for pretty much just one spot. It's going to be tough because, I mean, I knew that they were competing with a few teams, but I know that they were also playing a few of those teams as well, which, of course, beating them would help knock them down a peg or two. But no, it's too crowded. I don't think they're good enough to, even if they win out, it'll need some help. But just a quick correction on.
There you go. Eric is setting the record straight there.
Yep. Yeah.
For this international broadcast that is going to be picked up by all the national posts and media outlets. The Bengals offense had themselves a day this weekend. Not only did they go out and win 41-21 over the Ravens, but anyone who rostered a Bengals player had to have felt pretty good about their output. You got Joe Burrow, 37 for 46, 525 yards, 4 TDs, no picks. Mixon, 65 yards rushing, 1 TD on the ground, 70 yards receiving, 1 TD through the air. Higgins, 12 receptions, 194 yards, 2 TDs. Chase, 7 receptions, 125 yards. Boyd, 3 receptions, 85 yards, 1 touchdown. Are they the new AFC North favorite? And can we officially crown them as the favorite? Or are they going to shit the bed over the next two games, just like everyone else who we say in the AFC North is the new favorite does?
Yeah, they're still the favorite, I think.
Yeah, they're still the favorite, I think.
Oh, they definitely have the most talent on the roster right now. And, knock on wood, they have not really been hit hard by COVID.
Well, there's not much to do. Not much to do in Cincinnati.
Not much to do, right? So, yeah, it's probably them right now.
They look good, too. I mean, their defense is all right. Their offense looks like it's clicking. You know, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. I'd like to help his team succeed. I think it'll be fun to watch them to succeed again. They don't have many people with playoff experience, so maybe that'll be a hindrance against them. But unless they're playing the Colts, I think I'd root for them.
Well, let's put it this way here. Let's say they do make the playoffs. Do you think they have the ability to win a round and move on? Or is this going to be the classic, all right, they get their feet wet, they get a little playoff experience, but they're going to bow out pretty early?
Probably the experience portion of it. Right now they'd be hosting the New England Patriots if it were today. I mean, that's a tough ask for your first ever playoff game, right?
Going up against Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So as good as their offense has been, Belichick always comes up with a way to at least slow offenses down. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's a different game in the playoffs, right? The mistakes are bigger. There's more momentum swings, I guess, that can really just hammer a team down early. So they have the talent to do it. They just probably won't. But it depends. I mean, if they're playing the Dolphins, you'd probably pick the Bengals, right?
Probably.
All right. Well, we'll move on, seeing as Eric has nothing else to add on that one. And Veal Award this week going out to Buffalo Bills wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie. 11 of 12, 125 yards, 1 TD, 24 points, 1% owned. And I like the fact that he did all this filling in for Eric's favorite player, COVID Beasley.
COVID Beasley.
COVID. forgot the L in that there. There you go.
I saw a number the other day where, because of him just not following protocol, he's basically given up like over $100,000 in fines this year.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, man?
Well, give him a break. I mean, like, he's right. He doesn't know what the long-term effects are of the vaccine, whether they cause, you know, depression or suicidal thoughts. He'd never put his body in jeopardy for something like that.
COVID Beasley, renowned medical expert and epidemiologist / wide receiver in the NFL.
For now.
All right. Pickup of the week. I've got two of them. So I'm going to start off with someone who will likely be a very popular name on the waiver wire, is likely going to be someone whose name I butcher, but we're going to go with it anyways here. Dare Ogunbowale, Jacksonville running back, 2% rostered. He had 54 yards and a TD after my boy James Robinson went down with the Achilles injury, sunk my fantasy season, unfortunately, ended up losing a nail biter as a result. But again, tough task for him this week. The Jags are going up against New England. They have a pretty good run defense over there. Game script will largely dictate that they're probably going to be playing from behind. So how many touches he gets, I don't know. But there's not too many RB1s you can go out and grab from the waiver wire. And he's going to be the unquestioned guy with both Etienne and now Robinson out for the remainder of the year in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Craig, who do you got? Who are you liking this week?
I like Anvil. I Isaiah McKenzie, like, if Beasley comes back, I mean, do you really want to just give him the spot after he was potentially legitimately sick with COVID, not being vaccinated? Like, he's not necessarily, maybe his endurance won't be quite there. And he finally gave Isaiah McKenzie a start, and 11 catches out of 12 targets. Like, it was just ridiculous. And that was against the Patriots. So if you can do it against the Patriots, yeah, you know, maybe Allen will look for him against the Falcons too.
Wow.
So he's going to be another popular pickup, I would think. Only 2% rostered. And then another one, just because Eric still isn't here. More of a flyer if you're absolutely desperate for a running back, which I'm hoping if you're in the finals, you're okay. But you never know. But again, we brought him up before, but Derek Gore, Chiefs are going to want to use two running backs with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being out. They probably won't want to overwork their two guys right now. Just try to keep some guys healthy for the playoffs. So I can see Derek Gore getting a lot of touches as well as Darren Williams. So.
Well, my second one, probably someone who will be a little bit less popular than our friend in Jacksonville, but is 43% owned. So he might already be on a roster in your league. But if you are tight end desperate, I was on the fence with Gerald Everett in Seattle for a while. His last couple of games, he sold me on it. Is he going to light the world on fire? No. His ceiling's probably about 15 points. But he's at least proven that he's got a somewhat decent floor. I think, especially with how Seattle season is going right now, Russ and Pete Carroll are going to be throwing the kitchen sink at these last couple of games here. So expect them to be airing it out, letting Russ cook a little bit more maybe than usual. So he'll see some targets. 43% owned right now. I'm sold on him if you are tight and desperate for the next couple games.
Well, because the status of Miles Sanders, to put it lightly, is probably up in the air. Or
oh, he's done for the regular season. They're hoping
Is he okay?
He'll be back for the real playoffs, but fantasy playoffs, he is done.
You know what? If you're really digging for a flex, I mean, Boston Scott is probably a good option. I know that they have, was it Gladwell, who carries the ball a lot there too, but Boston Scott's has shown to actually be pretty serviceable in times where Miles Sanders is not playing. So if you really need to roster some guy, he might be your guy.
Yeah,
I like it.
And that would be Gainwell, not Malcolm Gladwell, writer.
Gladwell? Of... Gainwell, sorry. No one should take any advice I give at all.
All right, back for another installment. We're going to do our second edition of Would You Rather. So once again, the parameters for Eric, who is a stickler for parameters here. All right. Thank you. Neither Craig nor Eric have heard these questions ahead of time, so they have not had any time to prepare any responses. These are off-the-cuff answers. They'll be presented with one situation or another, some of them pertaining to fantasy football, some to real-life football, some just with a dash of football sprinkled into it, but have nothing to do with the outcome of an actual sport.
I like it.
They are going to give us their predictions and outcomes here for the second edition of Would You Rather. So question number one, assuming Nagy gets fired this offseason, which would be shocking if he didn't, would you rather take the Jacksonville head coaching position or the Chicago head coaching position next year?
Oh, Jacksonville, simply because of the weather.
Can't do that
anymore,
right?
Yeah.
Take that, and Chicago.
And no matter what kicker they have, I just couldn't stand being around Chicago kickers.
Well, I'm on Jacksonville too. They just seem to be so much better set up right now.
Yes.
They have the best quarterback prospect that's been around in a long time.
Yeah.
They've got a ton of salary cap there. And they've got an owner for the most part that will, you know, unless you're assaulting players, he's going to give you a chance to grow that team. And he, for the most part, stays out of it. So, yeah, go Jacksonville.
There you go. Jags getting some love on the Dynasty League podcast today.
They could be really good in a couple of years.
Yeah, which isn't good for Eric's Colts.
Well, I mean, let's not get carried away here.
All right. If you were Aaron Rodgers, would you return to Green Bay next year or go somewhere else?
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, like Aaron Rodgers, I don't think will go to Green Bay, even though that's realistically where he should go. I think he just made too much of a big deal in the offseason that there's no way he's going to let that happen because he's too stubborn. So I think he goes somewhere else.
I'll have to agree with Craig again. Go somewhere else.
Where would you like to go? Are you going to Jacksonville there because of the weather, Eric, or what?
I'm going to the fine city of Miami.
Going to Miami, man.
I just wanted to quote basketball there.
Minnesota.
Assuming if the parameters of this question assume that we're going to a team with a quarterback in need and not going to somewhere to replace Tua, where would I go?
I'm going Pittsburgh.
You going to Pittsburgh? All right. Man. I was just trying to cycle through all the cities with nice weather first before I started going, you know, into the mainland United States. I would go to Indianapolis if I were Rodgers. Kick Carson Wentz. We'll take just Rodgers.
Kick him out.
You're powering on the Carson Wentz experience.
No. If I'm going somewhere, I'm just cycling through all the teams here. Maybe go to Denver. They have a lot of good weapons on that team, just not a good quarterback, and their defense is all right. That might be a good option.
Describing Pittsburgh.
You're describing a more highly elevated Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
All right. Would you rather get the tattoo of your rival team's logo anywhere you want on your body or be a porta potty cleaner for 1 year?
Sorry, you're going to have to say that again. A tattoo of
your rival team. So for you, you'd be getting like a Raiders tattoo there, Craig.
I'd go porta potty cleaner for 1 year. It seems, you know, it's much less permanent. And, you know, to actually like suck all the waste out of porta potties, isn't it just like a truck that comes in and you put a hose down it? I guess there is probably cleaning of the actual units itself. And maybe once all that's done, but I think I can handle that. If it's just one porta potty, it should be rather fast and not take up a lot of time in my day. So sure, we'll go porta potty.
Just assuming that people normally have porta potties in singles and it's never an event where there's multiple. No, I'd probably go tattoo. And I deal with it for a year, and then you just change it, right? You like I can have the Raiders logo, and then all of a sudden, like the next year after it's done, there's like a Chiefs fan like setting fire to it or something. I don't know.
get the Calvin and
right, like you just yeah, you just
being on it there.
Yeah.
Well,
you can put on your little uniform, and it's I don't know.
Does Craig get to choose the location of the tattooers? It must be on a place where it's highly visible.
The parameters, you can put it wherever you want. You can put it right on the one if you want, Eric.
No, I'm still going porta potty cleaner. Okay. This is good. The first topic that Craig and I disagreed on, so we got a full perspective.
Yeah, you really walked us through the intricacies of porta potty sanitation there. That was great.
Yeah.
All right. In a must-win game, would you rather have Kyle Allen, Tim Boyle, or Ian Book as your quarterback for your team?
Oh, man. Not Ian Book.
Yeah, definitely not Ian Book. Kyle Allen.
That was terrifying. Who was the second option again?
Tim Boyle, Detroit.
Oh.
I mean, not everybody can have Patrick Mahomes, Craig. These are real life questions.
Hey. I've been a long time Chiefs fan, all right? I've had the worst of the worst. Craig. I mean, Tyler Thigpen at our time was one of the better quarterbacks, so let's just that sink in.
not Brock Ward.
Who?
Wasn't he a great Heward? Quarterback? Damon Heward?
David Heward and Brody Croyle. And, we were celebrating
Brock,
when we had
him. Brock Heward, he was a quarterback, but maybe he didn't play for the Chiefs.
Let me see. Yeah, I'll go Boyle. Just because, you know, just it, maybe he comes in with like a little bit of fight. Like Detroit's shown a lot of fight lately, whereas Kyle Allen and the Washington team has not. So go Boyle. Go for Boyle.
A little bit of that kneecap biting attitude.
Yeah. Boyle rules.
Yeah.
All right. If you can pick out of any of the teams who realistically have a chance to make the playoffs right now, okay, so you can't go and pick someone who's mathematically in it, but for all intents and purposes is eliminated here. If you could pick whoever you wanted for the Chiefs and for the Colts to play in the first round, who do you most want to play right now?
Out of all playoff teams right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like who's currently in the playoffs?
Titans.
You want to go divisional right away?
Yeah, I want to go division right away and just, you know, after going 0-2, an embarrassing 0-2 against that team this year, just get that right out of the way and just stomp them.
Wow.
Hopefully.
If Derrick Henry returns for the playoffs, does your opinion change on that?
Didn't we do all right against him this year? I think we did, in at least the second game.
Well, he lost both games so that Henry was in there, right?
So no, I mean, focusing squarely on him, and even though he was injured, you know, partway through the game, we were doing quite well, playing quite well against him. We have the linebacker core to make some plays and the defensive line to make it tougher them to block, to run block. And we've got a great offensive line on the other side of the ball, which somehow without them, we pulled out a victory last week. And that was amazing, getting that win and then having one of the best offensive units in the league essentially get a second bye week. Amazing. Simply amazing. But yes, Titans is my answer. I'm sticking to it.
I think I'd go Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it was when Brady was playing, but they knocked us out a couple of years in a row there. But I don't know. It's I just like the idea of playing the first game against a rookie quarterback. And it would be at home too, right? So you got like a Chiefs defense right now that's just ball hawking and creating turnovers. I think there's a very real possibility that Mac Jones stumbles a bit and against the Chiefs. And yeah, I mean, they've played them enough times in the past in big games, and Mahomes has been able to put up points regardless. So yeah, I go against the Pats.
Sure.
All right. If you had to take the medical advice of one of the following players contracted COVID, who would you like to take the advice from? Is it Rodgers, Beasley, or Antonio Brown? Who's your medical advisor in this situation?
I would go, I'll explain why, but I would go Rodgers.
I would say the same thing.
The reason why is Antonio Brown is insane, and who knows when something will happen and I'll have to try to sue him or something. I don't know. He's an absolute case.
Yeah, I feel like Antonio Brown would be like WebMD. You have a cough, you go to him, it's like, well, you're probably dying.
Yeah.
You're pregnant.
Cole Beasley for me, he just seems like the guy that doesn't do anything for his health, really. Like, he just, I don't know, he just seems like the guy who would just consistently not do anything. Whereas Rodgers, he's doing holistic stuff where it probably doesn't do anything, but at the very least, it's not likely to damage you.
at least Rodgers'
advice seems to be a little bit more, I don't know, might be a little bit more harming.
Yeah, I feel like Rodgers maybe at least has some sort of more incentive to try something, even though I wouldn't trust the efficacy or maybe anything really behind it. Maybe at least out of all three, his heart would be in the best place, which is what puts him above the rest when it comes to medical advice.
Sadly, I mean, that's exactly it.
In this scenario.
You get the added bonus of it being a 2-for-1 deal. You get Rodgers and his pal Joe Rogan giving you medical advice in that.
Oh, scenario. That wasn't part of the deal. Can I talk shit to Joe Rogan?
You can do whatever.
I'll still take that one.
There you go. All right, last one. Choose one of the following. Do you want a Hall of Fame career, no Super Bowl rings, or 4 Super Bowl rings, but you were a role player throughout your career?
I'd probably say Super Bowl rings. Why else do we play the game but to win?
Well, this come pretty rich coming from the guy who was just picking Jacksonville out of all the options simply based on weather for a couple
of... Yeah, I know that answer seems superficial, but when you get down to the the real question that you're posing here. Yeah, I'll take the, I mean, why else would we want to, I'm going to get paid well. I'm going to get paid better than 99.999% of people anyways. Assuming I go in with a good responsibility for money. The fact that I've won 4 Super Bowls also assumes that I've had a very long career as well, meaning that I was maybe a role player, but still, you know, effective and probably got paid well. So why else would we want to play a sport but not to achieve the pinnacle of what we're trying to do?
You play.
I'll take four.
Win the game.
I'll take four. I'll take 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, I'm probably doing that too, just because I don't know. I mean, yeah, Hall of Fame career, never winning is nice, but then you're, I don't know. Like, I guess it's the whole, like, would you rather be Dan Marino or, like,
Robert Horry?
Right? So.
I'll take Robert Horry.
Yeah, Marino's great, but he never won. And then he gets the attention of not winning. Whereas, you know, you could be a 4-time champion. So, I'll go champion. I mean, if people are giving it away, though, I'd take either.
Yeah, it's just a scratcher team right there.
Yeah, I'll even either one I'm okay with. But.
Yeah, I'll be the Robert Horry, the guy. Like, he didn't even win all those. He won those championships in 3 separate teams. That's, you know, like, role player, but got lucky, I guess.
All right, that wraps up another episode of the Dynasty League podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to leave us a nice 5-star review, a little write-up, share the episode with a friend wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also head over to dynespressbox.com, check out some of the content we're putting up there. Next week is our final episode, so we will be giving out all of the fantasy football awards. Eric, Greg, it's a black tie affair. Treat it like the Oscars. I expect you to be in full suit and tie for next week.
All right. Do you know what? I have not worn formal wear since being in the office, and I will gladly. Actually, that's not true. I did attend a wedding with both of you this past summer, but for something work related, I have not dressed up in almost 2 years. I'd gladly like to make it my first time on the finale next week.
All right. We will send our hair and makeup team over to your place, get you all primped and prepped for the weekend, buddy. Until next time, folks, stay safe. We'll see you next week.